Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to welcome you to Upcoming Disc. We're talking to Liv Collins from Dead Sight, a new horror movie out on DVD. How you doing with that? Well, you are not only an actress in the film, you also are one of the co-writers of the film, and it seems like you work a lot with the director, Jesse Cook. We talked to him back in 2012 for his movie Monster Brawl, and he's been pretty prolific since then, and it seems like you've been both writing and acting in a couple of his films, even with one upcoming. So how did that collaboration come together?
We got married in 2017, and we have three kids.
Well, that's a heck of a collaboration.
I actually was pregnant with our son. I was 7 months pregnant when we shot Dead Sight. And, we shot it. We finished shooting the second week of December, I think. And our son Hollis was born February 1st.
Wow, so that's his first screen appearance, actually.
Yeah, so that's the end, like, cry when the baby is born. Right. Jesse actually recorded our son's first cries when he was first born.
Wow.
He like lifted his phone. He was recording the audio.
Wow.
And it's a fun little fact.
A filmmaker through and through, right?
Yeah, never not working.
Right. Well, you play Mara in this film. Mara is a police officer, and she kind of discovers that everything goes topsy-turvy when there's a bunch of zombies running around. And you run into this guy, Ben, who is somewhat blind. And that's the first question I have to ask you. How difficult is it to work in a film where your co-star a lot of times has a band around his eyes and other times is kind of stumbling around? Does that make your job more difficult?
Yeah, a little bit. It's, I just think it's funny. Like, this poor woman is stuck in this weird scenario. She's trying to figure out what's going on. Like, people are sick, and she finally finds someone who isn't, and then he can't help her.
Right.
But, so it was challenging because I was, you know, very uncomfortable pregnant, and then
yes,
kind of having to help him out. But you know, that's also, he was very helpful, and it was kind of cool. It was fun.
Yeah, well, also in the film, I like how the dynamics change. For the beginning of the film, you kind of are his savior. You're kind of protecting him, and you're the protector. And then that flip-flop, so you both kind of get a chance to both be the protector, and you both get a chance to become the person in need of help. And I think that's a neat dynamic. Was that something that was part of the film when you wrote it, or is that something that evolved?
That,
yeah,
goal, just to have the evolution of the character.
Mm-hmm.
But film was never really, you know, set in stone. We were always evolving, always changing, just sort of adapting to it's indie film, right? So anything can happen.
Right.
Okay, we don't have time to shoot this scene, so now let's write this quick little scene instead. And but as we were filming, we got a better grasp on the characters, and it's way more freeing, you know, so we could make these decisions, like, are we going to see Mara go into labor, and is he going to go with her, or is he going
right.
to just sacrifice himself to save her? Like,
mm-hmm.
These were all decisions we could make kind of on the fly, and it all worked out because we could really feel how the characters were going and where the story was, you know, going and being taken.
Yeah, and because of that dependence switching and the fact that he has these sight issues in a world of zombies, I assume that you guys must have done something to help develop that chemistry, because that was really an important part of the film, because it's really only you two besides the zombies, so you have a very essential role to play together. So what did you do together to help develop that rapport, develop that chemistry that was required?
So we shot a film months earlier together where we were co-stars. We played siblings.
Uh-huh.
A film called Creep Nation.
Right.
And I have known Adam for a few years, and we get along really well. He's also a writer, which is a nice thing to have in common. And
uh-huh.
Yeah, and when you just being on an indie film set, it's so small knit and tight knit, and you're, you know, we're having meetings in our house, and we're doing all of these things that are really bonding. You know, like
right.
you're really having to work together, especially when you're like, it feels like war when you're fighting in this
right.
when they're together, and you know, even just one down set, you feel like you've lived a year together. So it's all very natural, which was nice because nothing felt forced, and we could do a lot of improv together. And I really like working with Adam.
And that helped you being the writer when it came to doing improv, right? Because you already had the script kind of from the inception.
Yes. And we had the freedom. Like, you know, Jess would say, okay, guys, like, why don't we do it this way instead? And then just do a little bit of improv.
Right.
And the script was way longer. Like, there was way more dialogue in the original script. And as you're filming, like, we're sitting in the trailer, we're like, let's just cut this whole paragraph out. Let's just change this. And what if they just say these few words instead? And, you know, less is more. Because we didn't want to make this zombie film and just be, like, force-feeding everyone all the info.
Sure.
For us, we treated it like it was a video game. Like, okay, what weapons are they going to get now? And it's like, you know, minute by minute, you're kind of having to make these last-minute decisions. Like,
right.
you know, you can't come with me because you can't see anything.
Right.
You got to stay here.
Well, and that was another thing I wanted to remark upon, is that this film is very dialogue light. I mean, there's not a lot of dialogue, and of course part of that is because zombies aren't talking and you really only have these two characters. But that has to have made the performance so much more important, because you guys have to sell a lot of what's going on without a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, and that's my favorite, to be honest. I love, like, less.
Yeah.
Because it allows like, your imagination is so much scarier and so much more intense than anything I think you can put on screen, and especially, like, when people are just kind of talking, you almost
sure.
zone out, you know? And so it's like, then when they do talk, you want to hear what they're saying, because it's like, oh, my God, now it's finally talking, and what information are they going to give us? And
right.
Like, trying to piece it together without them just saying, like, exactly what happened.
Sure. Now, you had to do a lot of shooting, because you're playing a police officer, and of course you're taking out zombies throughout the film. Did you do any kind of weapons training? Is there something you did to prepare yourself for that?
Yeah, we bought a, like a BB gun,
uh-huh.
and I had to practice shooting it, and, in our backyard.
Right.
And not that I'm uncomfortable, I'm just not someone who does anger. And anyway, so that was pretty much what I did. But then, especially using the machete, because a real machete is really heavy, but the machete, when you're doing the actual stunt work, is made
right.
of foam. So you have to, like, try to sell the weight of the machete.
Exactly.
So it's really strange. And so that was something I kind of had to... That was, like, right on set, though, because I think I did the first take and just... like, no, that wasn't that at all. The zombie, like, goes flying, and it was, like, so not not believable at all. So, and especially the axe, there was, like, a foam axe.
Right.
We have to remember that it's supposed to be really heavy, but when it's foam, we can just flip it around, right?
Right.
And, anyway, so that was...
Well, yeah, I noticed that...
That was probably the biggest trauma.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I noticed that there seemed to be something on it. When you hand it to him, when you're telling him to stay again in the basement thing, and you hand him the axe, and the way he kind of feels it to try to sell, it's like he's pushing on it to kind of show us, okay, this is an axe, I guess, maybe before you do the rubber thing. But he does a good job of selling the heft when you hand it to him, which is what you have to do.
Yeah, well, that was the real one. That was the real one. It's just like when we had to, you know, kill anybody with them or whatever. That was genuinely a real axe.
Right.
And that was heavy.
I'm sure it was, and working pregnant on this, and of course you used that in the film, because your character is also pregnant, and that plays a pretty important part in the end of the film, and it also leaves us kind of a little wide open with the end of the film. Are we going to explore this world again?
You know, we have talked about it because I actually love this little world we've created. it is here.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of one of those things you don't want to, you almost like just leave it, let it be. But I am making a film in the fall, and I'm still, you know, working on what I want to do. But
right.
We've been playing with the idea of kind of revisiting this world, and maybe we catch up with Mara and her toddler, or we, you know, look at other people in a different part of the country and how it's affected them.
Right.
But I don't know yet.
Well, but it seems like that was a thought. To me, it looks like there was some intentional opening there, because you've got this pregnant woman and she's, you know, got these people. I don't want to give away the ending, but you know, you've got this person here, and it almost seems like the way they focus on you in those moments, it's like you're really trying to let people know, okay, we're, you know, there's another chapter here. There's a new generation coming, and you know, we haven't really even explored this world beyond this small little microcosm that we existed in, and it seems like there's more to tell, and it seems like you guys made a point to tell us that.
Yeah, it's fun to you know, say we don't know what's going to happen next, and
right.
then leave the window open.
Absolutely. And also, how many days, you're sitting there working pregnant, which must have been difficult, so how many days of a shoot did you have to go through?
I think it was 11. 11 days,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to do pickups.
Right.
In April after I had the baby,
mm-hmm.
and that was maybe 2 days of pickups, and then we noticed a major continuity error and had
right.
to go back and reshoot in June.
Right.
Again, but that was only one day, so it really was a small shoot. Really, but when you do. Such a small shoot like that, your days are so action packed, and you're so, you know, going a mile a minute, and
absolutely.
Trying to get as much footage as you can in a short period of time before the snowstorms hit.
Well, I know we're running out of time here, so finally I want to ask you, though, of course this is a zombie movie, so you had these guys made up on the set, and you had some interesting makeup effects and such, so, you know, tell me what it was like just living day to day with, you know, off screen with all these zombies walking around and stuff. That must have been an amazing experience.
It was so fun. So we were in the process of renovating our basement, so that was actually our makeup hub.
Ah.
And my poor nephew is terrified of zombies. Terrified of them, and Jesse, you know, kind of toys with them and stuff, and says like, "Oh, there's zombies in our basement."
Yeah.
And we also have 3 kids, right? And so our kids are so they don't care about them at all, right?
Right.
To them, they're just normal.
Sure.
And both my brothers played zombies, so to see them in this like disgusting makeup,
yeah,
was fun for me. I'm sending pictures to my mom, who doesn't like herself at all. And she's just like, "Oh, my baby." She's like, "Why do you look like that? What are you doing to them?" And they're scary, like, with the they're freaky.
Yeah.
They're so gross in real life. And then when they're running at you, like, it's genuinely, your heart stops because they're
sure.
Apologies, y'all. We have time for one more question.
Oh, we do? Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. And well, then finally, I guess what I want to ask you is, when you're doing an independent film like this, and especially it sounds like there's quite a bit of a family affair going on here, people obviously have to wear multiple hats. And so what other types of things, I mean, you co-wrote the film, you were an actress in the film, what other tasks and jobs did you end up having to take on for this one?
All the wardrobe. Jess and I did all the wardrobe, and, you know, my mom made food and cookies and for our crew, and she sent famous chocolate chip score cookies that just, like, keep everyone going when they're hitting their low points.
Wow.
And, it's like, you know, we got our friends sleeping in our house, and we're true rock and roll indie film.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. You've built kind of a nice little family community here, and I assume we're going to have a lot of other films from you in the future. And I appreciate you taking the time to spend a few minutes with us at Upcoming Discs. The film's called Dead Sight. It's going to come out, I believe, June 2nd on DVD. And people should go out and check you guys out.
Thank you so much.
I said June 2nd. I meant July 2nd, obviously. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with the upcoming films. We expect to hear from you guys again.
Thank